Good morning, friends and family. We're beginning our worship service now. We'll have just an abbreviated worship service today, April the 5th. And next Sunday, we intend to have worship here, a drive-in church service here on the parking lot of First Baptist Church. We'd ask you to stay in your cars and go to the bathroom before you come, because those will not be available. And we'll be in Philippians chapter 3 today. And we'll begin with prayer, and then I'll turn it over to our praise team. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for today and the opportunity to gather together online to worship you, Father. I pray for those who are afraid today that you would encourage them and lift their spirits. Lord, I pray that you'd help us who are anxious to put our trust in you and you alone, not so much on what we can do for ourselves. We pray, Father, for our frontline workers who are dealing with the coronavirus, that you'd help keep them safe, encourage them, and pray for our leaders in this country. We thank you for the fact that we live here and our leaders attempt to be responsive, and we pray that you give them wisdom and strength and unity as they work together to solve this problem. But Lord, pray that more than anything, this time would turn our faces to you, and we would not forget you, but rather would come to seek you with all our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear.
Join us as we sing No Longer Slaves. We can feel you singing from home, so sing loud.
And Beth is over there. She refuses to get any closer to me.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have gone. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to our family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave. Freedom. Oh,
Father, Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to worship you in a country that is free, Lord. We may be stuck in our homes, Lord, but we do not get stuck behind anything where we cannot worship you. We thank you for that. We praise you for this time, and we ask that you bless our hearts, open our minds, and give us wisdom and courage and just the ability to soak in everything, Lord. We are still here to glorify you, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning. If you have your copy of the scriptures, join me if you would in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We are obviously in the midst of some unnerving times. We have obviously the coronavirus upon us, and it's spanning the globe, and it's obviously having massive impact on all kinds of things, from just our personal freedom to enjoy the world around us, to shop, to be together with one another, and just enjoy life. And when we look at this, there's always a fear of, am I going to get the coronavirus, or am I a carrier of the coronavirus? Am I going to get others sick? Or am I going to get sick? Or what about my kids or my parents? And all of these are legitimate concerns. We know that the virus will sometime, we figure it'll be dealt with, and we'll have to move on as a country. And what about the economy? Will we have jobs? And how long will it take to recover? And what about my 401k? I'm relying on that. And all of those are legitimate concerns. And I think we need to be wise when we respond to those things. But one thing that is not wise is to respond in fear. And when we think about fear, what it does to us is it robs us of joy. It robs us of peace, it robs us of hope, and even beyond that, it causes us to not always think clearly about what we should do, how we should act, and how we should interact and react. And so we need to choose faith over fear. What we're looking at today in the book of Philippians is that some people were encouraging Christians to take salvation into their own hands. And what Paul essentially is telling them, Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, will essentially tell them right off the bat is, rejoice in the Lord. Put your joy in the Lord, your hope in the Lord. And these are people, Paul included, who are going through suboptimal times. Things are less than perfect. The Philippian church was being persecuted for their faith. The Apostle Paul was in prison for his faith, and he just simply begins to talk about, from the beginning, he's sort of answering their question about how he's doing and how he's faring, and he says, look, whether I live or whether I die, I have Christ with me, and I rejoice in that. Yes, I will rejoice. And he tells them right off the bat in Philippians chapter 3 to rejoice in the Lord. You see, what happens when we transition from looking to God to control the future and then looking at ourselves to control the future, what it does is it brings anxiety and fear into our hearts, and it robs us of joy, and it adds stress to our lives. I believe it was Adrian Rogers that said, stress is the difference between what we are trying to do and what we are capable of doing. Now, you and I, we are trying to practice social distance and washing our hands, which is a good idea, even when there's not a national or a global pandemic. We should probably continue to wash our hands. But the truth is, while we do what we can and act wisely, there are certain things that are still beyond our control. And when we look to ourselves, to the solution, and to be the one who has the power and authority over our future, it robs us of joy. And it also robs us of a relationship with Jesus, because what we end up doing is looking to ourselves rather than to God. In Philippians chapter 3, the Philippians are being encouraged to sort of begin to look to themselves for the solution of their salvation needs. Paul basically tells them, let's just read it. Philippians chapter 3, let's begin at verse 1, and I'll just read and pause and and make comment as we go along. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. In other words, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so when we fix our eyes on Jesus and who he is and the fact that we know him and that we are related to him and through faith in Jesus, we have this relationship with God, it gives us strength. It gives us joy. It gives us wisdom. But when we begin to rejoice in our own strength, what we find, especially at times like this, is that the task of the day, the problem of the day is beyond us. And I don't know about you, but if you've been watching any of the interviews with the president and hearing from the people on the front lines, they're doing their best, but the truth is the solution seems to be beyond us. I interacted with a government official here in Missouri, just make a suggestion about something, and he emailed back. I was surprised to get a response. I was sort of grateful to know that they were actually responding to those things, and I said, all right, thank you for listening, and I said, I will continue to pray. And he responded back, we all need to be praying for this. And so what I see is a government official there who was wise enough to know that yes, he's going to work, yes, he's going to do the best of his ability, but when he's saying we need prayer, he's saying this is beyond us. The problem is bigger than us. When it comes to our salvation need, the problem is bigger than us because we inherited a pandemic of sin in our lives. We are born with a sin problem. We are living in a world that has a sin problem. And so when we look to ourselves for the solution, it will rob us of joy. So Paul says, don't look to yourselves. Look to Jesus so that way you can rejoice in him. Rejoice in the Lord, not in your own strength. Because your own strength, especially when it comes to salvation, will let us down. Let's continue. Verse 2, he continues, says, look out for the dogs, or beware of the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Right there, I'll just tell you, he's talking about people who are going around telling the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, that to be saved, you had to become very Jewish. You had to go about and add circumcision. Now, most boys in America are circumcised at birth, but that wasn't the case back then. They were basically, these Jewish Christians were telling the non-Jewish Christians, it's good that you believe in Jesus, but you must also be circumcised. So he calls them the mutilators. He's just downplaying the importance of this religious work. He's saying, look, you don't have to look to those things of the Old Testament law to save you. And I would tell you that this still goes on today. This last week, I had a conversation with somebody who said, there's this group out there that says that if you worship on Sunday instead of Saturday, you are offending God. And there was this wonderful Christian saint, a faithful Christian, that was really wrestling with this. And I just simply say, we don't need to look to ourselves to save us. And that has been and continues to be the joy of the Christian life, is this recognition that not only can we not save ourselves, we are putting our trust in Jesus to do it for us. So when people come into our lives and sort of make it out like we can do something to save ourselves, it will rob us of joy, and the scriptures warn us not to listen to them. Verse 3, for we are the true circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. In other words, we worship God by our virtue of our relationship to him through the Holy Spirit who is deposited in us. Really simply, I'll just describe it this way or define it this way. The Bible describes our bodies like a tent. And when we put our trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to dwell in the tent. And by virtue of that connection through the Holy Spirit, we worship God in spirit and truth. We connect with him through that relationship, not through our works. And we worship God by the Spirit, and we glory in Jesus Christ. We celebrate it. We enjoy the fact that we know Jesus and what he has done for us. And then we put no confidence in the flesh. Translation, we don't put faith in our ability to save ourselves. And this is true of the Christian life. But I would simply say this, as we look at life and how life works best, it is good to be wise and get wise counsel and to act appropriately. It is also wise to be humble and recognize that God is in control of the ultimate outcome. That's how we choose faith over fear. Verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. What he's saying is, look, if these people are going to come in and say you can have confidence towards God by virtue of obeying all these Old Testament rules, I, Paul, have even more reason to be confident because I was the super Jew, is basically how he describes himself. I have more reasons to be confident than anybody else, and yet I've, as he'll tell us, he left that behind like it was garbage. Verse 5. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee. That was the most strict group as far as obeying the law. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. I was so zealous for the laws that I was trying to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because I hated the fact that they preach that you could be saved by virtue of faith in Jesus, not by obeying the Old Testament rules. Let's continue. As to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. I did everything I needed to do. Verse 7, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Translation, in my own strength, I did everything that you could do to be righteous on the religious sense. But I abandoned that in favor of knowing Jesus Christ. My righteousness comes in him, through him and him alone. Verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law and my ability to obey it, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. He's saying, I left everything behind. I left my religious pedigree. I left the comforts of home in favor of knowing and pursuing Jesus Christ. And he puts all of his hope in Jesus. I read a story today about a man who was a slave. And in 1856, he said, I'm done with being a slave. And so he bought a big box, and a wooden box, and he got inside of it, and he sealed it from the inside and had it picked up by the post office. And for several weeks, he stayed inside this box. He left behind food. He left behind the guarantee of oxygen. And he left behind all of these things in the hope that when he got there, he'd be set free. He had mailed himself to an abolitionist who was a man of good reputation. He put all of his hope, he abandoned all those things that he could, the comforts, I guess such as it was, the guarantee of food and freedom and a clean place to go to the bathroom, in the hope that this man would indeed help him live in freedom. When we put our trust in Jesus, if instead of trying to earn our righteousness, instead of trying to be good, what we are doing is saying we are putting our trust in his goodness and his reputation. We are no longer looking to our own strength to give us salvation. In other parts of the Bible, the Apostle Paul writes about this, and he moves from the glory of salvation to, which is a future, in a lot of ways is a future-oriented thing, present, past, present, and future. But we often think of it in the sense of we get to go to heaven. But what about in the here and now? How does it impact us today? Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and following. What then shall I say about these things? About this salvation, the fact that there is no condemnation for those who have put their trust in Jesus. What more should we say about these things? If God is for us, who or what can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was also raised, who is at the right hand of God. That's how you know that your prayers will be heard, by the way. who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or viruses? I added that last one. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If you want to be a victorious Christian in the midst of difficult days, the solution is not denying that there's a problem. The solution is not ignoring godly counsel. The solution is not burying your head in the sand. The solution is not blaming government. You know, when we blame government, I kind of looked at it as really trying to bully these people in order to gain control of them because they're not doing things the way we think they ought to do. They're not under our control. When we look to Jesus Christ and to be a victorious Christian, we put our faith in him. Tim Tebow, the quarterback and now baseball player, is sort of well known for saying, I do not know the future, but I know the one who holds the future. And as Christians, we know him through faith in Jesus. You and I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know the one who is in control of tomorrow. And when we choose to focus on that, we can still have joy in the midst of difficult days. That is one way that we, the joy of the Lord can be our strength. Listen how Paul concludes this section in Romans. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Brothers and sisters, when we begin to look at what we think we can control or hope we can control, in times like this, it causes us to have fear rather than faith, to be conquered rather than be conquerors. But brothers and sisters, when we focus on Jesus and joy and take our joy in him and glory in him and our boast in him, I'm not saying we won't have problems. I am saying we can be more than conquerors and we can live like it. My encouragement to you today is you live perhaps with a little bit of anxiety or a great deal of anxiety, is that you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When you've put your trust in him, you've put your life in his hands. You have trusted him that his reputation, that he will indeed take care of you tomorrow no matter what happens. Perhaps this morning you've never put your trust in Jesus for salvation. He invites you to do that. This morning, I function as a pastor, basically as a representative of God today. And he would tell you this, you are not able in your own strength to earn salvation, but my son Jesus is. He did it for you. And if you will put your trust in him, his death on the cross will pay the penalty for your sins. The Holy Spirit will be deposited in you and you can connect with God and relate to God. You have your sins forgiven and have eternal life. And while you may not know the future, you can know the one who holds the future. And so this morning I invite you to call on him in saving faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for the gift of technology. I thank you for these intelligent men and women that put things together like Facebook and computers and all this stuff that I barely scratched the surface of knowing how to use. We thank you for that. Today it allowed us to gather and worship. I pray that the music and the message would be a blessing to your people. We pray that we would choose to fix our eyes on you rather than the things we cannot control. Pray that you'd help us to be wise and recognize reality and yet live like conquerors by putting our trust in you, not only for salvation, but for tomorrow. Finally, for those who have put their trust, who are pondering putting their trust in you for salvation, I pray that in their quiet moment in front of their computers or wherever they may be, that they would take some time to admit they have sinned, to call on you in prayer and admit, God, I've sinned. But to confess that they believe in Jesus, that his death indeed paid for their sins. And I pray that you'd give them the boldness to share with others that they've put their trust in you. I pray for all the churches today that are struggling to figure out how best to glorify you and do good for the people in their church and their community. I pray that you give them wisdom. Let them be winsome and wise. Let them be filled with love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're in Ellington or feel like driving to Ellington, next Sunday we'll be having Easter service. We'll be broadcasting it on an FM transmitter right here in our parking lot. We would ask that you stay in your vehicles because although we want to gather together and worship, we want to stay safe. There'll be more details of that coming out on Facebook and through our email. If you're not getting an email from us, contact me, and just you can do it through Facebook. You can also email me. It's my first and last name, Daniel, KITINOJA, at hotmail.com. If you want to contact me, you can email me. Thank you so much for joining. I see a lot of names. I see Joanne Hill. I see Julie Wakefield. We see Julie Morris. Randy. I see Stacy. I see Jim and Sam. I see you all in there. Thank you so much for joining us. And tonight, we also are doing a Bible study via Zoom, and the series is called Faith Over Fear. And this is technically the first in the series of messages. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5. I forget the exact location. Chapter 6 is where Jesus is talking about worrying about tomorrow. And so we'll be looking at that. If you give us your email and I can email you the link to that Zoom thing. If you don't have a camera and a microphone, that's okay. You can still see us, whoever. You can see us and you can hear us. And you can type messages if you have a question or a comment. And with that, may God richly bless you, my beloved. See you next week.